It's huge. 85 federal laws that discriminated against same-sex couples and their families have been reformed.
To celebrate, acknowledge and inform the community, the Wear It With Pride campaign has created 85 t-shirts.
Why wear t-shirts with pride? These historic 85 reforms reward decades of protesting. To celebrate, 85 artists are designing 85 t-shirts inspired by each reform. 85 influential Australians are wearing these t-shirts with pride to spread the knowledge across the country. I'm talking to Gabi Rosenstrike, the Executive Director of the National Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender Health Alliance. Hello, Gabi.
Hello.
Gabi, could you briefly explain what the National LGBT Health Alliance is?
We're essentially a coalition of organisations and some individuals from across Australia that each provide health-related programs, services, research, targeting sexuality, sex and gender diverse people in all their beautiful diversity across the country.
How did the Alliance come about doing the Wear It With Pride campaign?
The Alliance was part of a large group of organisations that was lobbying the federal government in relation to the Centrelink, the changes to Centrelink entitlements as part of the same-sex relationships law reform. And we were calling on government to improve the Centrelink situation, obviously, and part of what we were saying was that the community is not even aware of a lot of the positive effect of the same-sex relationships law reform and needs really good information about, you know, the Centrelink changes, but they also need to know enough to be able to take the other changes into account in their lives, so a community-based education campaign is necessary. That was one of a package of things that we were seeking, measures that we were seeking, and that was one that we were successful in achieving. The Alliance was asked to take it on board. Since we are national and networked across the country, we were only just new though, so at that stage we didn't even exist as a legal entity, and we're very pleased that one of our member organisations came on board to drive the campaign on our behalf.
How many people are involved in the campaign?
Oh, a whole lot. There's a tiny little project team doing the central work, but there are member organisations of the Alliance across the entire country. So I can't give you a figure of people, but I think there's certainly about a dozen organisations involved directly.
Why is it important for people to educate themselves about these changes, Gabi?
Because the 2007 same-sex relationships law reform brought a whole lot of improvement to people in relationships in areas that they were completely oblivious to. So, for example, there are rights around parenting, workplace, taxation, ageing, all kinds of areas that people need to know in order to be able to use them. For example, same-sex couples are covered under the Fair Work Act now, and that affects most workplaces across Australia, or many of them. So you need to know about that to be able to use it.
It's part of an education process that's ongoing, and it'll be some years before I think we all understand all of the changes. But the Wear It With Pride campaign is really great because what it's doing is telling people these are the changes, this is where you can get information and how you can use these changes to your benefit. Gabi, there are a range of fantastic t-shirts designed by some of Australia's hottest designers and artists for the Wear It With Pride campaign. Are these t-shirts for sale?
Yes, they are. We hope that there'll be lots of people walking around spreading the word via these beautiful t-shirts. They can be bought online at the wearitwithpride.com.au. Our main purpose is to have people's attention grabbed by the beautiful t-shirts and then to go and look at the website and get the actual information. But all profits from the t-shirt sales will flow straight back into the campaign as well and go into assist us to keep spreading the word by a lot of different means.
Gabi Rosenstrike, thank you very much for joining us on this.
Pleasure.
Finally, my super fund recognises my spouse. That's why I wear this with pride.
Some super funds now recognise same-sex partners. So if yours doesn't, switch. 85 federal laws have changed to recognise same-sex couples and their families. To celebrate, 85 artists have created 85 t-shirts inspired by the changes. 85 Australians are sharing their story. Wearitwithpride.com.au. Find out which one fits you. Wearitwithpride.com.au proudly supports Joy 94.9.
We're talking to Gavin McLeod, who is the Executive Creative Director of MNC Saatchi/Mark. Gavin, we're talking to you about the Wear It With Pride campaign that you helped to design. What inspired the idea?
I guess two things. One was there's been fundamental changes to the laws, 85 different law changes, but I suppose the human truth is not many of us are particularly interested in wading through legal truths. Basically, what we were trying to do is create a point of interest that people got intrigued about them and actually wanted to know more.
And so you created the Wear It With Pride campaign. Can you tell me about some of the contextual elements that you've used to get this message across to the community?
It's a good question. It's an interesting approach where to sort of bring these laws to life, firstly we approached artists and designers from within Australia and overseas as well. And we were blown away by the response from them. We've just had a succession of people who volunteered their time and energy to the campaign. Some really top international designers have free of charge have volunteered their time and energy to the project.
Going by the list of people, there's some very well-known and very high-profile people involved.
Yeah, even to the point of one of Australia's sort of iconic artists, Roj Mombasa. We were obviously nervous about approaching him, and he was fantastic. I mean, straight away said yes, and he's done the 85th, the last T-shirt, he's designed that for us.
Can you tell us a little bit about the 85 T-shirts?
Well, each one is particularly targeted segments of the population that we think the laws are relevant to, and then what we've tried to do in each one of them is we've given the designer a brief, which is a sort of description of the law, and then probably more importantly, a description of how, from the actual people who the law might affect, their stories of how in the past laws have affected them and how they see the positive changes that the laws might bring in as well. I think that's provided the inspiration to a lot of the designs you see on the T-shirts.
It's been a really good way to get the message across. Why do you think people should celebrate with pride?
The more you talk to people involved in the campaign, particularly sort of the celebrities, so I think of someone like Noel Tovey, and you hear his amazing life story, you sort of realise the discrimination and the hardship he's had to go through in his life.
Yes, it's amazing, isn't it?
Oh, it is. You saw the impact of when he launched Function, and his speech was incredibly moving. And I think that alone kind of makes me realise that it's how important the campaign is, and also why people should celebrate it. I mean, I look at his life story, and I think he beautifully articulates it when he said he never thought he would stand on the steps of the Opera House as a gay Aboriginal man, and wear it with such pride.
Your agency, MNC Saatchi/Mark, seem to have particularly taken some inspiration and pride in doing this particular project. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I think that's down to an incredibly passionate creative team. I mean, the three particular people who worked on it, I think, saw it obviously as an opportunity to do some great advertising, but more importantly, saw it as a social issue they really wanted to get behind. And I know they've put their hearts and souls into the campaign.
It certainly has. It certainly will. And these law changes will precipitate change in community. Laws can't change attitudes, but eventually they will change. It's been great to get your input from this, Gavin, and just like to say thank you very much for what you've done for the community on behalf of the Wear It With Pride campaign. It's been really great.
It's an absolute pleasure. I mean, it really makes you feel that you've done something much more than just advertising, which is a nice feeling.
Yes, it certainly is.
The Wear It With Pride project has been sponsored by
the National LGBT Health Alliance, a coalition of organisations from across Australia that provide health programs, services and research
targeting lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender and other sexuality, sex and gender diverse people.
wearitwithpride.com.au wearitwithpride.com.au. Hello everybody, welcome to Allegro Non Troppo. During this hour of Allegro Non Troppo this week, we're going to look at the phenomenon of gay and lesbian choirs.
One of the most notable aspects of humanity is communion of singing, especially in times of significant repression.
Whole genres of music are represented by this aspect. Gospel music grew out of the enslavement of African people who were forced into cruel slavery by white Americans.
Gay and lesbian communities have faced lifetimes of similar repression, although not as violent as other communities. However, the coming together to sing seems to be human instinct that brings communities in crisis together. We're going to look at choirs in different states today to see how they fit into their communities.
The choirs we're going to look at in particular are two. One, the first one is the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Choir, the SGLC. This was formed in 1991. It's one of Australia's largest non-auditioned community choirs and is recognised as one of the best.
Gay and Lesbian Singers of Western Australia are Galswa. They are a choral group that sings four-part harmony. They're proudly part of the gay and lesbian community and sing at events within their community and also in wider community events.
Allegro Non Troppo is produced in Melbourne, and we've got quite a number of gay singing groups here in Victoria, but we wanted to have a look at some of the choirs in other states and listen perhaps to some of their music and find out what the commonality is. I've been in a couple of gay and lesbian choirs myself, Peter.
Yes, I know you have.
And I'm not a very good singer, but I just found that being in those choirs, and this was in the 80s, was just a terrific way to come together, because for gay and lesbian people, you know, you realise you're gay, and then what can you do about it? Mm. You go out to meet people. Where do you go to meet people? You go to bars, you go to clubs, you get. There was nothing else. There was very little else.
Yeah.
But there were things like gay and lesbian choirs around, and a lot of them started at the same time. And the one that I was in, I think it was called All Sounds at the time, and it ended up being the Melbourne Gay and Lesbian Chorus, but it was just a terrific way to meet people.
I think one of the good things about most of these choirs, I think, is you don't have to be a brilliant singer. You know, people say, oh, I couldn't join a choir, I can't sing. But as long as you can hold a note and you're not totally off key, then you can still be a member.
The thing about gay and lesbian choirs as well is they expand, they come together with other groups. Because another thing that seems to have grown a lot in the various gay and lesbian communities around Australia have been orchestras and bands. And like we have here in Melbourne, the Melbourne Gay and Lesbian Chorus and the Rainbow Band come together from time to time, and they do their own thing, but they also do they do concerts together, and it's really terrific. So in a moment we're going to talk to the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Chorus and just find out a little bit about who they are, what they do, what they're up to, and how they fit into their local community. We're talking now to Jackie Weinman, who's the secretary and part-time accompanist with the Gay and Lesbian Singers of Western Australia in Perth. I don't think our show goes to Perth. I know we're on about, I think we're on about 15 stations in Western Australia, but I don't think we're on any stations in metropolitan Perth. Hello, Jackie. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
No, that's great. We're really interested to hear a little bit about the Gay and Lesbian Singers of Western Australia. Now, you formed in 1993.
Yes, we started in 1993, and we've kind of been through a lot of incarnations in that time.
Yeah.
And we're still going strong.
The gay and lesbian choirs, because you have they usually have quite a turnover of people. People come along for a couple of years and then move on to do other things. So that's why there's always quite a frequent incarnation and reincarnation of gay and lesbian choirs. Tell us a little bit about some of the incarnations of the Gay and Lesbian Singers of Western Australia. What sort of things have you done?
Well, when I first joined, there were just eight people, and that was about 1997. And it's grown since then, and we've been through different stages. Currently, we're mostly women. We have about 25 women.
Oh, really?
And we've only got one man, and that's one of our challenges. We kind of had all our men leave us a few years ago, and it's been hard to get them back when there's not been a core group to kind of encourage them along. But, look, we've done some fantastic things. We went, probably one of the highlights was the Gay Games in 2002 when we went to Sydney. And we performed at the Opera House and along with lots of other choirs, sang backup for Katie Lang. And that was a real highlight. And we've just been to Auckland for the Out and Loud Choral Festival, where about 250 gay and lesbian choir members from Australia and New Zealand and some from the US all got together and held a concert at the Auckland Town Hall.
You've had some amazing cabaret and concerts and things. You had one called ABBA Goes to Rio.
Yeah, we've had all sorts of...
Can you tell us about that? What was that one like?
Well, it was just I think we sang quite a few ABBA songs and Peter Allen, and it was, you know, just a creative name for an eclectic collection of songs. But that was followed up by a ABBA entry in the Perth Pride Parade, which went down really well. We had four people dressed up as the characters from ABBA, and we all sang a song. I can't remember what it was, but yeah, we just have a lot of fun, and our concerts involve a lot of, we love costumes and dressing up and, you know, just making it, it's cheesy and it's
fun.
You know, fun, and we tend to choose songs that people know, and, you know, we don't, we haven't really gone down a very serious track.
Okay. So with 25 women and one man, can you tell us what sort of, what's your repertoire currently consisting of, and who's your musical director?
Our musical director's called Claire King. She's a fantastic young woman who sings fantastically and does a great job conducting us. We're working towards a concert at the moment called Big Love. So it's all about all aspects of love, good and bad and otherwise. And we're working on a Gershwin medley, which we all love. You know, different songs like What the World Needs Now is Love, Sweet Love, and Tragedy by the Bee Gees, and If I Fall in Love, It'll Be Forever. And
okay, yep, that sounds like a good mix of music. Can you tell us what the gay and lesbian singers of Western Australia have done for the gay and lesbian community of Perth?
Well, we, well, for one, we exist, I think, as an alternative for people who, especially who like music and want to make music with other gay and lesbian people. We don't have auditions. Our rehearsals are very open.
Is there much of a gay and lesbian music sort of performance scene in Perth? Do you have bands, community orchestras, and bands, and apart from the singers, of course?
Not really. No. Somebody tried to get a band off the ground a few years ago, and I think they did a couple of concerts, but it's really quite hard in Perth. You know, we're quite proud that we've actually managed to keep our choir going over all this time because some of the smaller states have just had trouble sustaining their choirs and their musical groups.
That you've been very successful because you've been going for quite a number of years, and you've been involved with the choir for, what, 12 years now?
Yes, I have. I'm their longest standing member.
Okay.
And we also have other members who've been with the choir for quite a long time. And we have a core group and people who come and go, so...
Did you... Now, you performed... I read somewhere that you performed in an Eisteddfod.
Yeah, that was way back at the Kalamunda Eisteddfod, and we actually won that, which was fantastic, although we heard that a couple of private schools withdrew their entries. This is back in about 99, I think, when they heard we were competing, so we might have had a smaller field, but yeah, we did that once, but we haven't really gone into the competition since then.
One of the things, I mean, this is quite ironic because I adjudicate a lot of Eisteddfods and things like that, but I really honestly believe that music's not about competition, is it? It's about sharing.
Yeah.
Competition should be very secondary.
That's right, yeah. I mean, we entered it to prove a point, and we were really, really happy winning. But
we're going to be talking to the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Chorus in a little while, because I know they had a really big issue with an Eisteddfod some years ago. I think it was in Wagga.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to hear the story about that. And from time to time, the Gay and Lesbian Singers of West Australia, you travel over to Mardi Gras every few years, it seems.
Well, actually, we've only been once to Mardi Gras.
Okay.
And I didn't. That was before my time. But we've been to Sydney for twice for music festivals, to Melbourne. There was a similar Out Loud festival in Melbourne a couple of years ago, and now to Auckland. And, you know, travelling from Perth is quite a big deal. It's not as easy as from the East Coast. So we tend to do quite a lot of fundraising and subsidise people's fares. So I think that's something we do that's different to the other choirs.
Okay. And do you have any CDs or anything that you've produced?
No. We keep talking about producing a CD, but we've never got around to it.
Oh, well, that's possibly something to look for some funding for, because I think it'd be fabulous to hear a CD from the Gay and Lesbian Singers of Western Australia.
Yes.
Jackie, it's been lovely talking to you here on the Community Radio Network. As I said, unfortunately, we're not on any of the metropolitan stations in Perth, but we're on quite a lot of the regional and rural stations in West Australia. And if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do it?
got a website. It's www.galswa.org.au. Or if you Google the Gay and Lesbian Singers of WA, you'll come up with the website.
Or if you go to the Allegro website, allegro.org.au, that's allegro.org.au, you'll see a hyperlink to Gay and Lesbian Singers of Western Australia.
Yes,
I'll put you in our links page today.
Thank you very much, and our contact details are there.
Okay, good luck, and we hope one day, Jackie, that we do actually get to hear you here in Melbourne. I wasn't here when you were here last time, and we'd really love to see a CD from the Gay and Lesbian Singers of Western Australia.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us on the Community Radio Network.
You're welcome.
You're listening to Allegro Non-Troppo, broadcasting from radio station 3JOY, Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station. We're talking about gay and lesbian communities and the music that we supply and the music groups that we provide for our communities. It's a terrifically uplifting experience to go out to something like a community festival or an Eastedford. I do a lot of adjudication of Eisteddfods, and I've never adjudicated one where there's been a gay and lesbian choir, but I'd love to. But it'd be very difficult for me because I would find myself somewhat compromised, although I can be really objective and I would only be adjudicating on the music that I heard. But I'm sure I would get this enormous swelling of pride inside to hear a gay and lesbian choir singing in an Eisteddfod.
Yes, indeed. And it's very, I was quite shocked at the previous caller, Jackie Weinman, was saying that when some school, was it, found out that they were going to be performing, they withdrew from the competition.
Yes. When we're talking to the people in the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Chorus, you'll hear an even more shocking story about that when they wanted to go in. I think it was the Wagga Eisteddfod they went into in Wagga Wagga, and we'll go through that in a moment. But times have changed. I don't think in 2010 that would happen. If you went somewhere and it was the Melbourne Gay and Lesbian Chorus, for example, and there was all these high schools performing, I don't think that would be an issue. I don't think anybody'd even notice. But it's just interesting to see how times have changed.
This is Allegro Non Troppo on your local community radio station on the Community Radio Network.
Presented by Adam and Peter, and we're talking on the phone to one of our friends, Jonathan. Hello, Jonathan.
Hello, Adam. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Jonathan, we've got you on because you're a volunteer and you work with us here at 3JOY, but you're also involved in one of the most amazing community choirs around. Today on Allegro Non Troppo, we're looking at community choirs around Australia, particularly in other states rather than Victoria, because we've flogged the ones in Victoria to death over the last few years. But the Melbourne Gay and Lesbian Youth Chorus is something really quite special. Can you tell us a little bit about it, Jonathan?
Well, it started about 5 years ago. It's our fifth birthday this year. Just trying to think.
You just put on a concert recently, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yes, we just had our first solo concert on our own this year, just about a couple of weeks ago. It went really, really well. We sold out, so...
Who can join the Melbourne Gay and Lesbian Youth Chorus?
Anybody can join, and you just have to be between the ages of 16 and 29, I believe it is. So yeah, it kind of started out of the music director at the time, Jonathan Welsh, had heard about such choirs in America, and I wanted to start one here because he thought it was a fantastic idea, which it was. So we're the first one in Australia, the only one in Australia, I believe, Gay and Lesbian Youth Choruses, and just started up with a few members, and it grew from there to, and we're about, I think we're about 19 people now, so...
Really?
It's grown a fair bit from, you know, like four or five people 5 years ago.
That's really significant, having 19 members, and in the age range is, what, 16 to 29, isn't it?
Most of the people are about, I think the youngest is about 18, 19, and goes up to about 28, I think.
That's absolutely fantastic, and they have a really good repertoire. I have heard them sing a few times. They've got a fantastic repertoire of music, but the great thing is it's a gay and lesbian youth chorus. I mean, there's gay and lesbian choirs in most states, but to actually have one just for young people is a fantastic, positive statement of community, bringing together young people with the commonality of music and sexuality. Have you got any straight people in it, just to, do you know?
Sorry?
Has it got any straights?
I know I've got at least one straight person, Hillary. She's in the Sopranos, I think. So she's incredible. So we're also welcome to straight people as well. So it's sort of, in some ways, it's a bit of an allied choir as well. We're very welcoming of straight youth as well, and like families and youth and their friends who want to join as well. So we're not exclusive in that sense, but it is a really strong sort of sense of community within the group itself, and there's a very sort of strong bonds that people sort of form being involved in it. It's not just for singing itself, so... yeah, it's just been an incredible experience for a lot of people who've come along and who've come from very sort of isolated backgrounds in some senses, like myself at the time I was before I found the choir. And yeah, it's been, just been one of those things that's really been an important and integral part of my life, and I know other people's lives as well, especially since we've put on this concert. It's just an amazing experience, and it went so well, and it's just sort of brought us all together even more than it was before.
Very good.
So,
Just a message to people listening who may be interested in joining who are under the age of 29. Do you have an audition process?
We do intakes every, I think it's every couple of months or so, where we sort of, people who are interested, we sort of, everyone sort of comes along at once, and you just have to have a voice test. You have a trial of about 3 or 4 weeks, I think it is, and you just to see how it goes for you, whether you like it or not, and then you decide from there whether you'd like to join that.
Because some people might feel a little bit intimidated having to stand there and sing on their own.
Yeah, but it is a choir, Peter. It's not as if they're just going to...
It's by yourself in front of the youth chorus music director, Ben, who's a wonderful guy. So, and it's just a voice test to put your voice in a certain part. I mean, everybody, when they start off in the youth chorus or just come along to see what it's like, it's always very nervous. I remember how nervous I was. Mm. So, but after you see what it's like to be part of the group and what it's like to sing, it's incredible. So just give it a go and you never know. So
that's a great message for gay and lesbian young people, you know. It's something they can think about, because even though they don't have gay and lesbian youth choruses in other states, they do have choirs, and I'm sure the choirs would be just as welcoming as young people as you are. Jonathan, thank you for coming on the Community Radio Network and telling us a little bit about the Melbourne Gay and Lesbian Youth Chorus, and we look forward to hearing your first CD. You haven't done one yet, have you?
The youth chorus does have a CD.
We did
one in 2000, end of 2008, I think. So we've got one on sale now. It's called Count Me In, it's called.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think we're thinking about making a second one at some stage in the next couple of years. I would definitely think so. We've got enough repertoire.
Okay, that sounds really great. Thank you for joining us, Jonathan.
Thank you very much, Adam and Peter. Thank you very much.
You're listening to Allegra Non Troppo across Australia on the Community Radio Network.
And very shortly we'll be speaking to Sarah Penicker-Smith, who's the music director of the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Choir. Here's a little taste of that particular choir singing Moon River.
You heartbreaker, where
That was the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Choir singing Moon River from their Smooch album.
That was lovely, Peter, wasn't it?
It was delightful.
Very dreamlike. And joining us on the phone is the musical director of the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Chorus, Sarah Panicker-Smith. Hello, Sarah. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you very much. And happy birthday to Joy FM.
Oh, sorry. I think it's our show, actually. We're 15 years old. This is our 15th. 15 years of our show today.
Happy birthday to the show, then.
Okay. Now, Adam and Peter with you. Sarah, can you tell us a little bit about the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Chorus, because they've had quite an interesting history over the years. And one of the things I particularly wanted to share with the people on the Community Radio Network was the story of the Stedford in Wagga.
Ah, right. Yes. The choir has been around for a while. We turn 20 next year. So we're looking forward to our 20th anniversary celebrations, and in that time we have done a remarkable number of different things, which is one of the great joys of the choir. The Wagga Stedford was very early in our history, so many years before my time, but it's passed down into Sydney Gay and Lesbian Choir history. And my understanding of that event was that when the choir was originally enrolled in the Stedford in Wagga, we were asked to change our name. Could we perhaps be the Darlinghurst Choir or just SGLC? They were really not comfortable with having Sydney Gay and Lesbian Choir printed in the program. And the choir at the time stuck to its guns and said, no, we are the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Choir, and that is how we would like to be represented. And there were articles in the paper and a big fuss.
There was a huge fuss, actually, because I remember it quite vividly. And I thought, yes, I really do hope they stick to their guns and don't change their name just because some people feel uncomfortable with it. And it was that very fact that the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Chorus, and they were probably one of the first groups that stuck to their guns about that, that perhaps precipitated the change that we've seen socially across Australia, especially in cultural circles where it's just not an issue anymore. But there was there's quite an irony to that whole Stedford, wasn't there?
Well, I guess you could call it an irony, because the choir did win that first time, which obviously made the choir members very proud. But I think you're right in talking about it helping to precipitate change, because one of the things we've discovered about singing in a gay and lesbian choir is that people who might be hostile to you, once they see you and they hear you sing, a lot of that kind of melts away. You know, it's very hard to feel hostile towards people who are singing beautiful music, and the choir received quite a positive response once the performance had actually happened and, you know, we'd carried the day. So it did help to change attitudes a bit. And when we went back a couple of years later, the welcome was very different.
It's amazing. And from what I understand, I wasn't there at the event, but the reports that I'd heard from people who were at the event said that the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Chorus in that event absolutely stood out head and shoulders.
Yes, that's what I've heard too.
Is that they made
a proud day for the choir?
They made an absolute, so they had no choice but to give them first place, even if they didn't. The people perhaps didn't like them so much because they were gay and lesbian choir. But good on you. Now, the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Choir has been going for quite a number of years, and it's quite huge. And you do loads of things. Can you run us through some of the things you've been doing, Sarah, and what you've got planned?
Yes, I can. We have a sort of mission, I guess, to try and keep our concerts a little bit political. And when I say political, I don't mean necessarily spouting from a particular platform, but we really try to produce concerts that make people think. So over the last few years, we've done some quite exciting things. We did a collaboration with the Progressive Synagogue Temple Emmanuel with their choir and called it A Sunday with Streisand. And those kinds of collaborations have been really fruitful. Last year, in 2009, for the Mardi Gras Festival, we became the first queer choir anywhere in the world to produce a fully staged opera, and that was Henry Purcell's Fairy Queen. It was highly appropriate for a queer choir. We made it very, very gay, and it was extraordinarily popular, both with opera fans and with people who'd never been to opera.
That's huge.
It was massive. It was 4 years of planning. Lots and lots of blood, sweat and tears, but a really positive response and actually a really good production for a community group. We were really happy with how it turned out.
What was the response from the community like?
Much bigger than we expected. We really didn't know how people would feel about the production.
Mm.
And we certainly didn't expect a response a really positive response from people outside our community. But we collaborated with young opera singers from the Sydney Conservatorium of Music. They provided the bulk of our soloists, as well as some professional singers. And a lot of people in the opera community are really keen for us to repeat the experience because we gave their young students a chance to sort of shine in a staged production that, you know, a lot of them won't get to repeat very often until they move into full-time opera companies. So there's a bit of interest in us doing something similar again and keeping those kinds of collaborations alive.
Do you do any classical music, serious classical music?
Yes, we do a huge mix of repertoire. So I think the last full classical performance we did was that opera, so that was a Baroque opera.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, for World AIDS Day, we did some contemporary classical music. So there's a composer called Morten Lauritsen. We sang his Lux Aeterna. We had a brand new Australian work by a composer, Sydney composer called Luke Cummins, and we did some John Taverner. So we try and do about one sort of classical style concert and one popular concert a year. And this year we have two very exciting collaborations coming up. The big one is in May 22nd and May 23rd, and that's our collaboration with the Royal Australian Navy Band, which has been hugely exciting and really fascinating to put together.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
it's quite an unusual combination.
Yeah, it is an unusual combination, and we wanted to do it, you know, the choir members suggested it as a collaboration because really we were discovering that we hear a lot about the American military and don't ask, don't tell and that kind of thing.
Yep.
And a lot of people tend to assume that it's pretty similar in Australia, whereas in fact while the status of gays and lesbians in the military may not be quite perfect yet, the Australian Defence Force has actually put a lot of work into making a space for gay and lesbian people in the Defence Forces.
Last week on this show, we had two gay soldiers in, and we did the year before. We do an Anzac Day special every year on this show, and the Australian Defence Force is absolutely outstanding in the way that they accept and that they acknowledge the presence and of gay and lesbian people. They're just amazing, and they really do worldwide show an extremely terrific, tolerant and accepting attitude.
Yeah, I would agree with you, but it's interesting that I don't think it gets anywhere near the amount of publicity that, say, the policy in America does. Because a lot of people, when we talk about, oh, we're doing this fantastic collaboration, and people on the street that we're talking to say, oh, don't ask, don't tell. And there's no real understanding that that's an American policy and not an Australian one. So this collaboration is really about acknowledging what Defence has done and the fact that, you know, there are no issues about us performing with them at all. Is a really sort of exciting thing for us to be able to do.
It shows that our community and the Australian society's come a long way in the last 10 years, hasn't it?
Yeah, a huge way.
It's really good. Can you tell us a little bit about the people? Who are the people that are the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Chorus?
The people in the choir are extraordinarily diverse. I guess you would expect that, you know, from a gay and lesbian choir. But I think our people are probably our strongest asset. We have people ranging from their early 20s through to their mid-60s, I think. At the moment, we sort of don't put too fine a point on age, but it's a very diverse age range. And we have a very healthy population of basses at the moment,
right,
which makes me the envy of most of the choir directors in Sydney. It's fantastic.
We've just been talking to the gay and lesbian singers of Western Australia, and they've got 25 women and one man.
Yes, yeah. It's tricky with that. It sort of depends who walks through the door, as to how things sort of pan out. But we found it was the same with getting young people into the choir. We had a couple for a little while, and you know, other young people would arrive and sort of go, oh, I'm not really sure that this is sort of the place for me. But you sort of need to get a critical mass, and once you've got a regular core of, you know, a small number of people in whatever,
yeah,
you know, demographic you're talking about, other people tend to then come and stay on board.
Yeah, we've been talking also to, in Melbourne, we've got the Melbourne Gay and Lesbian Chorus. We've also got the Melbourne Gay and Lesbian Youth Chorus. They've set up a separate choir for young people from 18 to 28, and they're doing really well. They've produced a CD and they've done a few concerts. Now, the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Choir have done a few CDs, haven't you?
Yes, I think we have five. So our most recent, which we recorded at the end of 2008, was Smooch, and you heard a track from that. And that was inspired by the ABC Classic FM Swoon series, kind of. We thought we'd get all our schmaltziest stuff and bung it on a CD, and that's what we ended up with.
And the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Choir is going from strength to strength. Plenty of members and plenty of community interest in what you're doing?
Yes, very much so. The membership's growing, but what's even more exciting is that while we always have quite a healthy member base, people would sort of dip in and out of actually singing, whereas now we've got more and more people singing regularly. So the actual size of the choir on stage is booming, which is brilliant to see. And in terms of community support, yeah, we're getting some really interesting gigs coming through from the community. International Day Against Homophobia is our next one. There's an art exhibition that started up in Sydney last year, and we'll be back for our second go at that in a couple of weeks' time.
Oh, look, that's fantastic. Look, thank you very much for being with us, Sarah, and telling us a little bit about the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Chorus. Is it Sydney Gay and Lesbian Choir?
Sydney Gay and Lesbian Choir.
Choir, right. Yep. Melbourne Gay and Lesbian Chorus.
It gets very confusing.
And the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Singers of Western Australia. It's been really interesting to look at all of those three groups and see how they all have some area of commonality, whether it's people from the community, but also the difference that they have as well. And it's just great that we've got this diversity of choirs across Australia.
One of the great things about the Australian choral scene, the gay and lesbian choir scene, every choir, if you see us all together, we've all got really distinct personalities, and it's really great to see.
Yes, you come together now and again, don't you, and you have this.
About every 3 years, there's the Out and Loud Festival, so we've just come back from that just over Easter. Yeah. That was in Auckland.
In Auckland, yes. Yeah, we heard about that from the West Australian people, how fabulous that was. Thank you for joining us on the show, Sarah. I'm sorry, I think we're only on one station in Sydney, but we're on a lot of stations in rural and regional New South Wales. If people want to get in touch with the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Choir, how can they do it?
The best thing to do is to look at our website, which is www.sglc.org.
Okay, or they can go to the Allegro website where there's a hyperlink, allegro.org.au. That's allegro.org.au. Thank you for joining us today, Sarah, and good luck with the choir.
Thanks very much.
On today's show, we spoke to people from the Gay and Lesbian Singers of Western Australia, the Melbourne Gay and Lesbian Youth Chorus, and the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Choir. But there are a lot of other gay and lesbian choirs, not just in other states, but also in New South Wales. There's two others in New South Wales. There's the Newcastle Gay and Lesbian Choir. There's the Canberra Gay and Lesbian Choir. There's a Gay and Lesbian Choir in Brisbane as well, but we weren't able to get in touch with any of those choirs. But it's just fantastic to see all of these choirs getting together and coming together, a sense of community pride and togetherness, and giving people something else to do.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great thing if you're into choir. I mean, I used to be in a choir at school. I used to really enjoy it. I've never joined a choir as an adult, though.
But they're particularly good for gay and lesbian communities. And I mean, you look at one of my heroes as a chorister would have to be Jonathan Welsh, because he started the Choir of Hard Knocks.
Mm.
He was also director of a local choir here as well. But he's done great things with music in the community as well, and he showed exactly that a choir can be a real focal thing for personal growth, community development and togetherness and inclusiveness. That's what it's all about. Anyway.
15 years.
Yes, it's been our 15th birthday today, and just a few little tracks you heard through the show today were just to go look back at what we used to be like. We've changed a lot since we've been on the Community Radio Network, haven't we?
Hopefully.
Here we have. We'll be back next week, everyone. Bye.
Bye.